Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, we got a huge day here on The Fan, on the KNC Masterpiece. We'll be pre-gaming for the G-Bag Nation. They'll be up to take you into your football weekend as well, Kevin. We got Jerry Jones to start things off at 10:30 this morning. So that's Woo! our first group of interviews. Our second one will be at 11:15 with Chris Collinsworth. He'll be on the Sunday Night Football broadcast, so you'll definitely want to hear what he has to say. And, man, I really do have some questions about Astronaut High School with him. Dead serious, there is a group of athletes that have come out of that school that are just phenomenal. What are they putting in the water down there? Then we got Mickey today and Fish and later in the afternoon. But we got a lot more fun to get into. But let's start things off with the Cowboys' biggest key to victory this week. Kevin, what's it going to be for the Vikings? What's it going to be for you? Mine is if the Cowboys get around Kirk Cousins, if they pressure him, if they get a body in his face, they are going to win this game because that guy is not going to be worth it. He is scared. He panics. I've been talking about this for a while. I've seen at least on three or four occasions he's about to get sacked. So he panics, turns around, and flips the ball to whoever's behind him. And then sometimes there's nobody even behind him. So I think the Cowboys getting to Kirk Cousins will be what they need to get a win on Sunday.
Mine is actually also on the defensive side, but believe it or not, I'm going to go with already Michael Bennett and Malik Collins, because one of the things that you're going to have to do in this game is you're going to have to try to slow down the run. I'm not saying stop the run altogether, but you're going to have to try to slow down the run. And those two guys immediately jump to mind as two guys that will be helpful with this. And then obviously the linebacker play, whether that means Jalen and LVE, Jalen and Sean Lee, perhaps even all three. I think it starts with those two up front winning the line of scrimmage and causing havoc.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly how you're going to get to Kirk Cousins. If you get to him up the middle, then they're going to have to double team. They're going to have to do so much more inside. And then who's wide open? Who can pin their ears back? That's going to be Tank and Robert Quinn. And you know they're coming. They're coming after the quarterback every play. Tank was so good last week that I think I have vaulted past any concerns about him. The dude's motor is always running. He's always playing at a high level. But when some of the things that I saw him do last week made me say, that's a healthy Tank right there. That's a guy that can actually be the guy that we thought he was going to be this year. I hope that he's completely healthy because that'll be a big difference maker. Go ahead.
What about offensively then? Because we just hit multiple defensive points. Is there one particular player or unit or whatever that you think offensively has got to make it work?
I think that the Cowboys will do the same thing in trying to establish the run this week, Kevin. I know that drives you insane. But they could have done that every play last week against the Giants. They could have just run the ball. They didn't have to throw. They really could because they were having their way. And they're healthy on the offensive line coming off the bye week. They were healthy. So I think they want to win that to try and shorten this game and really force Kirk Cousins' opportunities to be less. Because that's a smart idea. Give him the ball less so he doesn't have an opportunity to stand in the pocket occasionally. All right, because if he's in the pocket clean, he's going to be good. Dak's the same way, though. My thing about Dak is Dak seems to stay in the pocket longer to deliver throws. He does seem to stand and deliver a little bit better. And I think that's a difference between those two quarterbacks. But I feel like they are going to look at this defense and say, okay, can we strike occasionally whenever they're playing one high defense? Yes. But they do a good job of disguising what they're going to do, moving their safeties around and playing in the secondary, especially when they know it's going to be a third down pass. So I think the Cowboys are going to try and win with the run on first down until they say, all right, we're bringing somebody into the box. And then they're going to try and strike.
877-881-1053. Who is your Cowboys key to win the game this week? Because I agree with this one from the 972. The offensive line has to do work this week. You're going up against arguably, maybe not arguably, the best defensive line that you've faced all year. And if you want to, like we talked about harassing Kirk Cousins, if you want to prevent Dak from facing that same thing again and again and again, then the offensive line is going to have to do work. And I think after the last couple of weeks, you feel a little bit better, especially with everyone moving back to up closer to 100% health-wise, or as close as you can be at this point in the season, you feel more and more confident that this offensive line is what it's been for the last 2, 3, 4 years. So I think that that is absolutely possible. And this is such an important game. I mean, you can argue every NFL game is important, and I get that. But this feels like such a pivot game for both of these two teams. The Vikings are 6-3. The Cowboys are 5-3. It feels like whoever wins could continue to go on the upswing, and whoever loses could continue to go on the downswing. Okay.
And that's what I hope that's the case, because I would love the Vikings to kind of fall out of
but
glory
only if
here.
We win. Otherwise, you don't want that to be the case.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Vikings to fall out of glory and the Cowboys to ascend, to go undefeated for the rest of the season, except for maybe the Redskins game, in which their depth is able to overcome in the Redskins game. That's the biggest question about this team is they're really good at the top. The Cowboys are really good at all their starting positions, but they're not as deep as we think they are, right? Like they're not as deep on the offensive line. So you can't have something happen in this game, because talent for talent, the Cowboys pair, they match up very well. But if something happens on any of the positions on the offensive line, they're going to struggle. And Kevin, they will go in with a game plan. They say, let's try to execute this game plan because we think this will work. If we set things, they love to set things up early to pay off in the later part of the game. Let's set up the run with 2, 3, 4 yard runs early, because those are going to turn into 6, 8, 10, 12 yard runs late. So the Cowboys love to do that. But if you have an injury, now they don't adjust. They don't become adaptable. They don't have a moment where they say, okay, now we're going to have to do this to protect what we were doing. We had this game plan. Now guys just have to go out and execute. That's going to be the biggest burden on this team, is trying to figure out how to be adaptable if something happens. Hopefully, there nothing happens. But if something does, I don't think Jason Garrett can move.
Couple more key players to win this game. Sunday night, 7:20 kick, 4 o'clock pregame right here on The Fan. Jason Witten from the 972, and from the 817, Michael Gallup. Cooper's going to draw attention, so Gallup is going to have to make the catches and make the plays like last week. But I want to go back to something else you were referring to, and I was hoping we could elaborate on, you despise Kirk Cousins more than anybody that I know. Tell the people why you think he absolutely sucks.
Yeah, and somebody said that it's a bad take that Kirk Cousins flips the ball backwards when nobody's behind him sometimes. It's not a take, it's a fact. I've seen it happen. I watch film on these guys. I stole Jeff Kavanaugh's NFL Game Pass password. Can I say that? Is that
okay?
So that I could actually watch all the games and watch the competitors. And I've watched almost every game that Kirk Cousins has played. And I don't know if I can say this in the middays, but I used to say it at nighttime. He's the biggest, I'm going to say, wimp when it comes to having pressure around him. When it comes to opportunities to show leadership. And I think some guys take crunches, they take the hits, and you go, damn, did you see what Dak just did? Did you see Dak extend for that touchdown against the Seattle Seahawks? Did you see him go end over end into the end zone? And I know sometimes you're like, I don't want my quarterback taking those hits. But in opportune moments, I think it really does, in a gladiator sport where men are men and they take big hits, I think guys respect guys that take big hits. You saw last year, was Adam Thielen saying, hey, I love it, I love this quarterback at the end of the season?
No.
He was ripping him apart on the sideline. You've seen Dalvin Cook he's turned around and said, I'm about to get sacked. Here, Dalvin Cook, there you go. As Dalvin Cook catches the ball, 6 guys are colliding on him. I think he's one of those guys that's very afraid and doesn't know how to handle stress and pressure. And that's one of the reasons that I don't like the guy very much, because I'm not confident in his leadership. He has some good stats. He had the situation where he was a fourth-round draft pick, just like Dak, didn't get the opportunity to start, took advantage of it, was better than RG3 in his time while he was there, and then was very smart about the way he worked his contract. I don't think he's worth it for the Vikings. I think the Vikings are going to say the same thing about him. But I think if I'm under the impression on everything that I've seen, if you get around Kirk Cousins and if Tank and Robert Quinn put pressure on this guy, I think add a fifth. I'm like Chris Richard, bring somebody every play. Bring somebody on every single play because I watch his throws. He's going to sail on somebody just because somebody's near his body. And this offensive line for the Vikings isn't that good at all now, too. So that's something else that I think they have a big advantage on.
From the 972, it's Ben and Terrell. Jarwin is going to be a matchup nightmare for the Vikings. From the 936, it comes down to Byron Jones and Cheeto. I feel confident about one of those players. And then from the 940, this is the exact same way that I feel. Bennett's really got to help clog the middle. I mean, Bennett and Tank last week combined for, I think, 7 tackles for loss.
When y'all say clog the middle, is that for Dalvin Cook specifically?
Yeah,
They love to get to the edge too, though. And that's one of the problems with what I want to do. I want to bring somebody on every play, but somehow the Cowboys pass rush has to be good enough to seal off the edge and get to the court. Like it's really difficult to do both things. Dalvin Cook loves to get to the edge because they like to bring 2 tight ends in and say, hey, y'all stop us.
I might feel a little bit better about Jalen and hopefully LVE hitting out the edge if we're dominating in the middle. If that's like the option that I have to deal with, I can handle
that. Jalen is a straight line runner though.
Oh, yeah. Well, then I just need him to straight line run to the side. Just
find your. That's one of the reasons. Like when he has a clean gap to get through,
he'll destroy.
He's great because the angle isn't that bad for him.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3. The Fan. Got Jerry Jones coming up at 10:30. But coming up next, would you want Nolan Ryan to come back to the Rangers? If so, for what? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you want Nolan Ryan back? The bigger question, does Nolan Ryan want to come back? Nope. Man, this report yesterday,
absolutely,
that came out, it was late last night, is that Reed Ryan is taking an unceremonious exit on a couple of things, and that is club's president of baseball operations. Now, Reed Ryan said in like a 5-page or 5-paragraph press release that he wanted to focus on his other business ventures while remaining an important part of the Astros organization. And I think we all know when other people have other business ventures, they're usually going to exit pretty quickly. Yeah. So I think that Reed Ryan is going to be kind of on his way out at some point, too. Plus, Jim Crane's son, Jared Crane, is now being elevated to the position that he just vacated. Nolan Ryan, however, I don't know. This is a real weird thing. The beef is back in the stadium out at Globe Life. But will Nolan Ryan say, hey, I'm going to come along too?
Where's the beef?
Now, when it comes to in touch with Nolan Ryan, I think you can take a lot from what Evan Grant knows. And here's why. One day I was out covering the Rangers and Nolan Ryan pulled up in front of me. And he rolled his window down and said, "So do you want to ride with me or not?" And I was like, "Yes, Nolan, I absolutely want to ride with you." And behind me, Evan Grant goes, "I guess." And I was like, oh my God, he wasn't talking to me. So
that's
I just went to my car and cried. But Nolan Ryan and Evan Grant have a good relationship. And he says, listen, he's about to turn 73, has 12 years of exposure to a very dirty business of baseball, the stuff that goes on in the background. And he doesn't want to just be a mascot. He wants to be involved in what the club is actually doing. So would the Rangers give him that opportunity? Do the Rangers opening a new stadium need something like that? 877-881-1053.
It's really interesting that you mentioned the stadium because you know who threw out the final pitch for the now old stadium? It was Nolan Ryan.
Did he throw it to Elvis? Was that the one at the end of the game? Which one was the end of the game?
No, it was the first pitch.
Okay.
It was the one that he
threw
out there.
The final pitch was somebody else.
No, but I said the last first pitch.
Gotcha.
And so I think that's a big deal in showing that maybe some of the wounds have been mended. But then again, you just said he doesn't want to be a figurehead. Well, I don't see how that jives with JD at all. I don't necessarily, and you know, I would love to be proven wrong about this. I don't necessarily see how JD is like, yes, I would like Nolan to have a hand in some of the personnel moves. And Nolan's probably thinking, well, obviously you want me to have a hand in some of the personnel moves. And I'm inclined to say for an organization that hasn't developed a good young pitcher in forever, maybe it's not the worst thing in the world to at least let Nolan Ryan have some thoughts or whatever.
Who's the good young pitcher they developed while he was here?
CJ Wilson immediately
they gave him a chance.
Jumps
yeah.
to mind.
No, he was a closer, and he said, "Hey, what do I do?" And
Nolan said,
"Use the
Matt Harrison
outside of the plate."
Derek Collins.
So they did.
Derek will tell you that he gives Nolan Ryan like a lot of credit for his development into the pitcher that he became for the Rangers.
And I know people like to say, "Well, Nolan didn't do anything while we were going to the World Series." Okay, fine. If it has to turn into that kind of contest, and you don't want to give him any credit, fair enough. All I know is that when we had the most success and we were developing young pitchers, he was at least around. And you're telling me that he never said anything to any of those pitchers? I'm not saying he needs to become the GM, but I also don't understand why you wouldn't take a resource who is tied in with this organization and not at least go, yeah, if you want to sit down with all of our young pitchers and talk about, you know, load management and how to handle your arm or anything like that for modern baseball or how you might need to tough it out sometimes, I'd be fine with all of that.
Yeah, I also, you know, the mindset of a pitcher, I think, is a very important thing. How to overcome certain things, how to become the guy that's saying, "I'm going to change things up whenever I'm throwing this kind of pitch over and over, and are they hitting it? You know, what do I do whenever I'm working with what my sequences are as a pitcher?" So I think that it's great to have that kind of guy in the room. Now, they have Michael Young. And Michael Young, that's a great relationship that John Daniels said, "You know what, I'm going to rebuild this," because he traded him away. And obviously that's a little painful. But Michael Young was like, "I understand what the Rangers organization means to the community. I want to be part of it." And Michael Young, I think, has done a phenomenal job in his role. Why couldn't he, you know, focus on some things and Nolan focus on some things and then build a legendary duo that a lot of people can look at and say, that's what we're doing right there?
People are really split about this on the fan text, 877-881-1053.
There are some people that are Nolan people and some people that are JD people.
For the 972, hell yeah, bring Nolan back. We need pitching help. From another 972, I love me some Nolan, but I don't think he has a spot here. From the 817, he should come back as a pitching coach. And from another 817, yeah, and also fire JD because he's terrible.
Well, that's not happening. Listen, that's just not happening. John Daniels he took your team to two World Series. I know they didn't win them, and then he tried to chase them, you know, for what, 4 years after that? So, you know, he's started the idea of, hey, we're going to do a new 5-year plan. And that's what they're doing. They're rebooting. He went to Ray Davis and said, "We're rebooting." I love the fire of that. But John Daniels is where it starts with this club. He has a lot of respect within the organization.
From the 469, yes, we want him back. Those are some of our best years. From the 817, I want Nolan back, but he either has to work the grill or be a hot dog vendor.
What?
And then somebody said maybe he could be a Walmart greeter. That's just rude.
Well, how much would you freak out if Nolan Ryan handed you a hot dog? He's back there just flipping dogs, and then all of a sudden he gives you the bun and the hot dog.
Would you eat it?
Absolutely.
Or would you want to save it?
What are you going to save it in?
Man, I'm going to put it in my Nolan Ryan Hall of Fame and like the Lucite and everything like that.
It's just going to decompose on your, you can't
preserve
it.
I got it sealed up real nice back at the house.
That's not going to work. You're going to have to put it in one of those jars, the science jars.
You don't know what kind of jar system I got going on at the house.
That's true. I've never been there.
From the 214, no, Nolan Ryan is a big fat phony. And from the 501, this is what it always, Nolan talk always morphs into JD talk. We need to move on from JD. And so that's the thing. I wouldn't anticipate it happening, but people around this community love Nolan Ryan. And if he can come in and we can find an agreed upon role that is not ginormous, but he can feel like he's more than a figurehead, it makes all the sense in the world to
Absolutely
me.
Absolutely it does. I respect what John Daniels' analytics add to the game. I love the idea of merging both analytics and the feel of the game together to come up with the best solution. And that's what I thought that, you know, that the old manager was. That's what I think that I do believe that Chris Woodward has both mindsets going forward.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with Cowboys owner and GM Jerry Jones. Want to know where everybody else gets their news? You'll hear it next live right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Sunday night, Cowboys Vikings right here on 105.3 The Fan. You're going to want to tune into that one, and we'll be tuned into it for sure. The official station of the Dallas Cowboys. Let's go ahead and talk to Jerry Jones right now. Jerry Jones brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Corey and Kevin. Good to be on with you.
We appreciate it. Hey, I guess the first thing we have to ask is, has the cat been secured by the Dallas Cowboys organization?
Hey, I just read a little note that they're trying to find that cat in that big stadium. And but we've got him hit out up there. He's only going to come out for Cowboy games.
Nice. Okay. Is it all Cowboys games or just the really clutch ones?
You got to have good cat communication to be effective in the NFL today.
And that sounds straight out of Garrett's playbook, the way you just said that. I like that statement. I like that. So we're hoping or curious. I know the national spotlight is always on the Cowboys, but does it feel any more special when you get that national primetime spot all to yourself?
I think we all are excited and get a certain level of feel good when we know we have a lot of fans all over the country looking at us. And so I know I've always thought that, for instance, the same philosophy at training camp. I've always thought that the guys competed with more intensity. The competition was better when we had big crowds watching the mundane drills of practice with a big crowd. And I think that does carry over. The bigger the audience, the better you feel about going out there and not making mistakes and doing your best.
The opposing coach that you're going to see on the sideline on Sunday night was once with the Dallas Cowboys and Mike Zimmer. And this is a man that switched from a 4-3 to a 3-4 for Bill Parcells. And then even recently said, hey, if the eye surgery doesn't work, just take the eye out. Is Mike Zimmer one of the toughest men you've ever met?
Yeah, I love his mentality like that. It fits football very well. When I first met Mike, when he joined under Dave Campo, Dave was our defensive coordinator at the time, but I also right about the same time met his father, and they are two peas in a pod. They remind you of each other so much. His dad was a football coach, and you just immediately felt good that you were around a football guy. And, of course, the real test comes when the players respect him, if you will. They want to please him as a coach. And he barks at them. He's pretty hard on them. But when you see that reciprocation and a respect, if you will, love, nobody thinks more of anybody than Deion Sanders thinks of Mike Zimmer. Well, when you see players doing that, your people you work with doing that, then you know there's something very special inside the person they're doing it with, and that's the case with Mike Zimmer.
Is it at all possible that the only person Deion admires more than Mike Zimmer is Deion?
Well, no. I think that Dion has always had a prideful aspect to him. And, for instance, Dion would not really excel in the weight room, or he really felt, or you made you feel like that he wanted you to feel that his skills were more natural. Yet when he went home, he had one of the most complete gyms you've ever seen, and had a work regime that was second to none. So Dion works real hard to make it look real easy. That's part of his, and I'm going to go that far, that's part of his genius. But make no mistake about it, there have been very few people play sports with the kind of skill set that Deion Sanders had.
Now, Jerry, whenever you look at the quarterback position in this game and you look at each side of the field for this, Kirk Cousins, fourth-round pick, Dak Prescott, fourth-round pick, do you see similarities in what their game is, or do you say, you know what, these guys are two completely different peas in the pod?
I don't know him as well, obviously, as I know Dak. And I know what makes Dak really initially easy to see and easy to stand out, and that's his leadership. And now you can't lead unless you can do it, and Dak can do it. But if he's the leader that Dak Prescott is, then he's really, again, he needs to go up a notch, because Dak just commands the area that he's in. And I haven't necessarily one way or the other heard that about Cousins.
When you're looking at a player, maybe quarterback, running back, whatever, and it's time to become top five or the highest paid player at their position, is it just stats, or is it something you see with your Jerry eye that makes you decide how they get paid that kind of money? How does that get decided for you?
Well, of course, at the end of the day, the bottom line is to win the game. And that's where your judgment really comes in. Does this guy give you the best chance to win? And that doesn't always meet the eye test, but it sure does meet the actual practice test. And I don't mean just practice like practicing. I mean, do they win? Do they do winning things in places where they are counted on the most? And so that then goes from not only playing a team position like quarterback, but actually have they contributed to those successful plays directly? Dak checks all those boxes.
Now, I was curious, particularly when it comes to Amari Cooper. I know he said yesterday that his knee is manageable, and I know he's the kind of person who wants to go out there and play. How do you kind of balance what the player tells you versus, like, maybe what the MRI tells you or what the coaching staff or training staff tells you when somebody really wants to get on the field?
Well, his MRI, or his assessment of where he is right now, would give him a total clean bill of health if we were drafting him tonight, or if we were signing him tonight. And so let's get that straight, that manageable, I'm sure he's referring to his ability to execute at the level that he does. Now, nobody puts any more torque, nobody puts any more pressure on ligaments or his body than Cooper does in terms of the velocity that he's moving around out there with. So that's a big statement when he says it's workable.
And then it's same, I don't know if you have any updates for us on Leighton Vander Esch, because obviously Cowboys Nation is excited to see him back out on the field again. Do you think we'll see it Sunday?
Oh, yeah, I do. And he's practicing, and he's feeling better. And so And no one has been chomping at the bits anymore and anxious to get back out there than he does. And, you know, I've reviewed, as many have, reviewed the play that he got his had to have his situation or his injury occurred. And I don't know when I've seen an any more awkward position to have pressure or to have weight or to have a lick done than the way his body was when he got it. And so I don't look for him to be getting in those kind of spots very often.
Over the years, have you ever had to sit down with a player who's like, I'm ready to get back on the field, and you had to kind of sit down with him and go, I know that you want to play, but all of the information we have says that you should not play this week?
Yeah, I don't know of any that have not wanted to get back out there. I will never forget the experience I had with Jason Witten when they were looking for the clearance from any doctor that would clear him to play with his lacerated spleen. And I'll never forget when we were visiting with the doctors that were finally involved that cleared him. And I'll never forget that experience. But he basically, when I asked, well, how much does this game mean to you, Saturday? And he said, well, it means everything. It could be the last time I could ever be on the field. They're all like that.
Wow.
Is what he said. And so the doctor said, well, I'm going to clear you because he said, I think your risk is certainly acceptable there. And, of course, we're talking about a guy that you weren't supposed to be back out there for 6 weeks, and he had been out two and was back out there with a lacerated spleen.
That's legendary type stuff right there.
Wow.
Jerry, Michael Bennett was, I thought he had great push in the middle, something that this team was kind of missing early on in the season. I am curious, though, would you have gone after a Michael Bennett type player if Tyrone Crawford had not been injured?
Yes. It was unique. His skill set was certainly one that Bill Belichick and the Patriots thought highly of because they signed him from Philadelphia in the offseason as a free agent. But as it turns out, Bill's doing a lot with linebackers and a lot with stand-up guys is a better way of saying it, probably. And his statement was, look, we just had the numbers with us for linebackers, and that's the way we're playing defense. And Michael's just not getting out there as much as he wants to and to be content. So it was an opportunity for us, and we took it. But, listen, he's well-established as to what he brings, and he's well-established with his production, both at Seattle as well as Philadelphia.
Hey, Jerry, sources are saying that Deion Sanders is becoming a candidate for the Florida State head coaching job. I just wanted to get your thoughts on him as a football coach. How do you think he'd be?
Oh, I've actually watched him coach. I've watched him work with younger players in the pros, and he's outstanding. He has all the credibility that you could ever imagine, both from knowing what he's talking about, plus as a the sensitivity or the perception that he has with people skills. He's really good, and he generates excitement. And so that with that energy package that he's got, along with his I would say his understanding of how to maximize your talent, which he did. He had the, as I mentioned earlier, that great talent package, but boy, he got a lot out of it, and consequently, and played to it. And I think he can coach that. He'll be a great coach.
What, if anything, can you tell us about the Daniel Ross situation? And from a broader perspective, do you get disappointed, frustrated? What's the emotion when arrests or things of that nature happen to players in your franchise?
Yeah. Other than the report, I have no information. I've not talked directly to Daniel. And so I don't have any more information to add to that.
Okay. And from a broader perspective, I'm curious, like, do you sit down personally with these players, or like what happens when a player runs into just legal trouble in general? How does that have to get handled with you guys?
Well, you have, we probably have actively relationships out there right now with over 100 players. And just picture 100 people at any makeup anywhere in our society, and you're going to have things that come up. And certainly things that involve driving or things that involve many other areas, both health as well as illegal. And so that's just part of it. It goes on every day. I have a red phone by my bed, and it rings.
Oh. Like Batman? That's amazing.
Wow. Yes, it does. All right.
Thank you so much, Jerry. And we're going to need to talk more about that red phone at some point in the future. That sounds amazing.
Got to get that number.
Well, you don't well, I take that back. As fast and mean as you guys are, you probably wouldn't be on that phone very often. But, if you're fast enough and mean enough, you can have your place with a number on that phone.
Thank you so much, Jerry. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
It's Jerry Jones, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas.
Is that the bat phone? Is that the Batman
That's
music
the Batman
right there?
Theme.
Dude, hold on. He said that bat phone rings.
I mean, you just heard what he said. When you deal with more than 100 players at all, and this is something that we've talked about a couple of different times.
Oh, the phone is ringing.
We've talked about this a couple of different times. The makeup of society, you know, the NFL is not necessarily disproportionate most seasons with the arrest record of general society, but a lot of people don't care about the arrests of general society and stuff. Hey, I got arrested when I was a kid. And
so maybe your number is going to have to be on that.
Yeah, maybe it does. But like when it's a football player, obviously you care and it gets a lot more attention. So I understand what he's saying about, you know, these situations are bound to come up when you have more than 100 players.
877-881-1053. Based on what we heard with Jerry, it sounds like we're going to have a pretty healthy team out there. It sounds like a relatively healthy team for at this point in the season. If Vander Esch is on the field, if Amari Cooper is, you know, 75 to 100% Amari Cooper when he gets out on the field, is that going to be, does that make you feel more favorable to the Cowboys at home on Sunday night?
Absolutely, because you're looking at two, and I mean, Jerry told us, I anticipate both of them will be out there. Now, I know Fish is yelling at his radio right now, Dr. Jerry, be careful, but
Jerry Poppins,
you look at those two positions and you're thinking, well, Amari Cooper is certainly one of your best players, so any opportunity to get him out on the field, I support. And then for Leighton Vander Esch, I mean, you're going up against a hellacious run game in Minnesota. And anybody that can tackle and clog up the middle or get to the outsides, I support. And I feel pretty firmly that Leighton Vander Esch either is or has the potential to be your very best open field tackler.
When it comes to the running game, Kevin, in comparison of the two running backs, I don't know if you heard the story about Ezekiel Elliott's run and why he doesn't run pad level up. He runs that way because one time when he was 7 years old, he got hit in the midsection and it made him cry. And so he runs with the pads down. That's why he'll duck down and level somebody with his shoulder, because he said, I'm never going to let that happen again. I'm never going to let somebody make me cry by hitting me in the stomach again. And Dalvin Cook's a different kind of running back. When you watch him run, no, he's not a crybaby, Shippy. You don't have to do that to him. But when you watch Dalvin Cook run, he does so well on the cutbacks and inside and then getting it slow too. Fast through. A great man once told me that. And you get to the line patiently. But once you see the hole, you explode and you get out. And that's what Dalvin Cook does very well. So as good as he is on getting to the edge, he's also really good in between the tackles. The Cowboys will do that. They're going to be pressured to come up, absorb double teams, and get their guys in the gaps. And you're right. Leighton Vander Esch has to choose the right ones. My question, and I feel like from what I was talking about with Mickey the other night, there's going to be more opportunities for Sean Lee to be on the field with them.
Well, why not?
Because they bring the tight ends in, because it's, you know, I don't think the linebackers are the best at covering those tight ends. That might end up being a bit of a problem, but they will make the field small for themselves while also trying to push the ball downfield to Diggs. Thing is, without Thielen, it really does make the field smaller.
Okay, can I ask you a question about Sean Lee in particular? Outside of, like, the schematic advantages, do you feel like Sean Lee falls into that, like, Jordan Lewis category at all when they
get him on the field as much
exactly.
as possible?
And they're like, I don't know how or why or whatever, but every time he's out there, he's making plays. And Sean Lee was making plays.
Is that going to take Jordan Lewis off the field? Because now you're in that situation where you're bringing in your third linebacker, and you have Cheeto and Byron on the edges, and you have Xavier Woods and Jeff Heath. That's three. That's it. You can't run your nickel. Now, they love their nickel, and they believe that maybe Jordan Lewis is the best matchup for following Dalvin Cook around on the field, just like they did with Kamara whenever they had him follow him around. But you're going to take Sean Lee or Jordan Lewis off the field on Sunday in those situations. And that's up to what do you think? Do you think that that's the best? Or you say, you know what, now I kind of want Sean Lee instead of Van Der Esch? Or
wow, I can't imagine going that far. But then again, I don't want to be a prisoner of the future.
Is that, like, going on the wall of takes?
Yeah, maybe that should be on the wall of takes because – like,
you'd rather have Sean Lee than Van Der Esch?
I don't think I'm ready to say that, but I'm also trying to decide, is that because I'm thinking about the future or Sunday's game? Because let's face it, like, Leighton Van Der Esch is your better option for the future, but if Sean Lee is out there making more tackles Sunday night, like, I want to win Sunday night,
yeah.
And that's what
me
my
too.
Primary focus is.
Thank you,
and
Shippy.
That's a bold take.
Yeah.
I mean.
Put it up there. I want to win on Sunday
well,
night.
Well, and that Shippy. Goes to how often you hear the bold takes from Jason Garrett of we're focused on Sunday. If they're truly focused on Sunday and Leighton Van Der Esch is out there and he's looking the way, you know, there have been times where Van Der Esch has not been the guy we saw last year.
Sure.
And I don't know why. But if he's not looking the same, will they make that move and go directly to Sean Lee? Because if they do, that'll really tell you their focus on this game specifically and what they're trying to accomplish in that game. I think try and have all the best playmakers you can possibly have on the field at the same time is what you try to do. That's one of the reasons that I'm not opposed to maybe moving around with. I know Jeff Heath. I know it's midseason. I know
safety.
It's midseason, and you don't want to do something like that. But I'm not opposed to letting Jordan Lewis play a little closer to the line as a safety because of his ability to cover too.
Right.
I'm not opposed to just checking out the idea. There's nothing that says he's a safety. There's nothing that says that you want him to be that. But he can play close to the line. You've seen him blitz off the corner. You've seen him make plays. And you have not seen that from Jeff Heath. As Everson Walls told me the other night, the ball hit him in the back of the helmet. And I don't know if I've ever seen that happen before. That's what Everson Walls said. So I would just want a guy that just has a little more awareness and presence.
The other thing I was really fascinated by is he talked about how people amped it up for those national primetime games. And we could talk with Chris Collinsworth about that at 11:15. But coming up next... outside of the Cowboys, what is your top NFL game of the week? 877-881-1053. Let us know. We'll do it next on The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.